Well, this past week, we've been celebrating Catholic Schools Week in the church, and throughout this week, this reading has been on my mind for that reason, but also because this feast never seems to fall on a Sunday. I don't remember it happening. I'm sure it must have happened in the last 14 years, but I just can't remember that. And the importance of and the significance of Jesus' presentation in the temple and the correlation with Catholic schools was on my mind. And by the way, I'm not going to go into everything about the presentation because would you like to hear all of the reasons for the presentation? I'm not going to do that. You're welcome. Yeah. Some of what it means is very simple. This child, Lord, that you have blessed us with is yours. My child belongs to you. My child that you have shared with me, that you have blessed me with, belongs to you. That's why we're coming into the temple to present our child before you. Okay? And that's quite a statement. And the thing that every year on the presentation, I think about one thing. I think about when I'll be presented before God on the last day. I think about God's throne. I think more about, like, not so much about judgment. It's not that kind of a thought for me. It's more about being presented before the Lord with a mind made pure, as the opening prayer said. Prepare us to be presented before you with minds made pure. That's that opening prayer from the Missal. That's anticipating the last day when we will come before the Lord, made pure before him. Offering him a life, hopefully a life of worship, a life of trust and of faith, a life redeemed by his son. We'll come before him and present ourselves before him and share in his glory, receive a heavenly reward. Like, I think about that. Not the scary parts of coming before God, like, oh boy, you know. But the really, really good parts. And I think that's appropriate for us to think about today. And for those of you who are parents, to think about that for your children, is that what you're doing as you're preparing for them the way to heaven, presenting them before the Lord? And hence, of course, the importance of Catholic schools and of your role as primary educators of your children in the ways of the faith, right? That I like to think of the faith as like a three-legged stool and, you know, as far as like raising kids in the faith, all right, you got one leg is your home life, one is at school, and then one is at the parish. And there might be other, you know, important parts and relationships in your life, but those are a three-legged stool. And I always like to ask people, like, well, what's the most important leg of a three-legged stool? You know, school, it's got to be something where they're being presented before the Lord saying, Lord, this is my child, but it's your child. It belongs to you. It's all yours. And for them to know their identity, them to know who they are, as Jesus is presented in the temple, he's you know, he is God, but he's presented to the Father as this one belongs to you. And that's our identity. So think of baptism, okay? Obviously, this probably brings up baptism for everybody because we're Catholic, and at least most of us here are Catholic, and we usually do infant baptism. Not always. We also do adult baptism. It just depends on when you come to Christ, the household, whatever. So the little squishy little baby being presented before the Lord, I was a four-year-old. My mom wasn't really sure about all the Catholic teachings. Is this being recorded? Anyway, she hates when I say this. She wasn't really sure about Mary and the saints in purgatory for a while. Anyway, I was four. There's pictures of it. I vaguely remember it. And I was there. I was. I don't think I had any real faith of my own yet. I remember when I was six that I did, and praying when I was six. And I've talked to you about that before. But I don't know that I had any faith then. I remember being upset because I thought that the water messed up my hair. And I had just great hair. So, but my parents said We promise to raise our child in the faith, to know the Lord, to follow him. And there's this line that the priest always asks. You heard me ask it to people dozens of times. Do you understand? Parents, are you ready to raise this kid in the faith? Do you understand what you are undertaking? And the parents say, I do, or we do, or yes, or uh-huh. All right? And then I say, godparents, okay, are you ready to help them? They're going to need some help. It's a pretty serious thing, right? Without grace, it's an impossible thing. And that child, okay, far more than just dedicated or presented to the Lord, that child is actually given through the waters of baptism actual rebirth and regeneration, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, made a beloved son or a beloved daughter of God. That's their identity. That's your identity. That's who you are. Who you are is you belong to God. That's your basic identity. And it's the most important thing about you. And you need to know that for yourself, and you need your children to know that. That's what we spent all week at school mass. We spent all week, really it was about that. Who are you? Someone who belongs to God. Who are you? Someone who has a heavenly father. Who are you? A beloved son or a beloved daughter? That's who you are. There's never going to be anything about you that's more important than that. I don't care who you are. For Pope Francis, what's the most important thing about him? Not that he's the Pope. If you won the Medal of Honor, what's the most important thing about you? That you're beloved. If you were baptized, that's the most important thing about your identity. I don't care what other office or title, a king, a president, any accomplishment. The most important thing about who am I will always be, I am someone who belongs to my Heavenly Father. And to help our children, to train them up to where they understand that identity, they know who they are. There's nothing that could be more important than that. And also, the way in which that looks forward to when they will be presented before God on the last day. Right? Coming before God with minds made pure, with hearts made pure, with a life made pure, someone redeemed and sanctified, transformed by the power of Jesus' blood, by the power of his resurrection, by the power of the Holy Spirit, transformed, made a new creation in Christ, and offering a life that is pleasing to God. Something that in our own flesh we are totally incapable of doing, but with the grace of God, we were made to do. Like, that is why we were created. And this doesn't mean that, you know, when we come before the Lord, why will we be made pure? It's not our deeds, but his. We're clothed in his righteousness, but it's very clear that it's about a transformation, okay? And that is what we want to be preparing for. That is what you want your children to be prepared for. I've had a lot of homilies recently about how we do not really believe in safety first. I closed school because it was really cold. And some people were like, that's wimpy. Thought you were a Catholic school. And they didn't really say that, but that's what they wanted to say. And if I wasn't a priest, that's what they would have said. There's a whole thing about prudence. I won't go into that whole homily. And I was like, well, you know, we don't really have a plan for a building evacuation in minus 21. We had one of those earlier this year. It was no big deal, but blah, 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 blah. And then so some people were like, oh, yeah, safety first. Yeah, safety first, safety first. And I was like, no. I didn't say it out loud, but my skin was crawling. It's like, no, it's not safety first. It's salvation first. Safety also matters. Safety is a really distant, 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 distant second or third. I don't know where it comes in. I'm not sure. It's important. Believe me, I don't want to explain to any of you school parents why we did not immediately evacuate your children when the fire department told us to in minus 21. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, we defied the fire department. But we had to wait for the kids to get their hats and coats on first because it was minus 21. Like, I'm sorry your child has frostbite, but I didn't know what to do. So, you know, it's important. It's not number one. Okay, it's not number one. Think about your child being presented before the Lord on the last day, being successful, worldly success, making money, having, you know, being able to be good at things, very important. Excellence is always good. Also not number one. Okay, so that perspective that the Lord wants us to have for this. Also, this. Look at what else happens at the presentation. We see Simeon talking. He says, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. Okay? And you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Well, that's intriguing. You know, your son is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. He's going to be opposed by these people, but it's going to be this big overturning. Looking back, this has to do with lifting up the poor. Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. And we understand that what's really important to the Lord is faith, not wealth or whatever. You know, like, what's the most important thing happening? Well, it might not be what the world sees as most important or what gets reported in the news or all of that. We can look back and see what this means, but at the time, Mary and Joseph were left to wonder at what it meant. They were left to wonder at what is God's plan for our son. They might know he's the Messiah, they might know he's the Son of God, but they don't really know everything about the Father's plan and Jesus' plan and the Holy Spirit. They don't know everything about God's plan. And so they're wondering about what is God's plan for my child? God wants you to wonder about that for your child and for yourself, okay? This is also about just about you. It's just about me. What I think is cool about this, though, is if you can get your child to wonder as well. I don't think you're ever supposed to tell your kids what God's plan is for them. I don't think you have, it's above your pay grade. I can't do that. It's way above my pay grade. I'm so glad no one ever said to me, "You should be a priest." Oh my gosh, I would never be a priest if someone said that to me. But I'm really glad also that people said, "Well, what do you think God's plan is for you? What do you think God's will is for your life? How do you think he wants you to serve him? What do you think he'll do through you? That he wants to do through you, specifically you?" I was led to wonder at the plan of God. What does God want me to do, and what will he do with what I offer him? And I'm not done discerning that. Like, I'm 43, I'm your pastor, been a priest for a while. I'm not going to stop being a priest. That much is discerned. But like, what else should we do here in Pinckney? What new things does the Lord want to do? I'm not done discerning how is God going to work out his plan. Neither are you. And what we want to do for ourselves and for our children is to enter into how does my story fit into God's whole plan. The more we know about God's plan, the more we know about the history of salvation and the plan of God, the more we're able to really ponder that. It's interesting because we know about it. And what about how your life fits into that? That is where we can't discern God's will for our lives until we are at first interested, intrigued by, drawn into, what is it? And these words that Simeon says, they're very intriguing. I mean, that's immediately very eye-catching. How is the Lord calling you? How has he been calling you? From the day you were baptized until the day you're presented before the Lord on the last day, there may be a lot of twists and turns. Maybe you wandered away. Maybe you just straight up walked away. Okay, we all have twists and turns. But are you wondering? Are you coming back to the Lord? Are you wondering? Are you listening for, willing to discern and pursue, what is God's plan for you? What is his plan for your life? In these two ways, I think what we see at the presentation is really important for us to hand over as well. That identity, that being just rock solid, rooted in our identity as beloved sons and daughters. To know who we are means whose we are, who we are in relationship to the Father. And then to be totally interested in, and in a healthy and a holy way, obsessed with, what is God's will? What does God want of me here? What is his plan for me here?